It's like, I love you.
Oh, man, right on, man. Thanks, man. You and Joe, let me know it's real people. Like, you guys, you can tell your personality comes out on Twitter.
Thanks.
And I people say that about me, but when I see, like, you, and I love Joe. I've been knowing Joe for, you know what I'm saying? But you also, you're of that same ilk where it's like, I can tell you're not just putting a facade on. Like, you're really...
Yeah.
Like, people meet me, they say, you're just like you are online. I'm like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I mean, I think you can tell those of us that are like who we are online, you can tell because like we make mistakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I put my foot in my mouth a lot.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I appreciate the genuineness where you can tell somebody isn't just walking on eggshells trying to not be their self. Like, we're people. You make mistakes, just, oh, my bad. Hey, type that out wrong. Here's a little clarification, you know?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, forgive and move on, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, man.
Exactly.
So how you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing okay. Regular day, man. Pick my pastor up from the airport. Nice. And after that, just hanging out mostly.
Nice. Where are you at?
I'm at Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, wow. I've been to Las Vegas one time.
Yeah, I'm in Sin City, you know.
It's too big.
Yeah, but it's real slow, though. Well, I'm from California.
Okay.
So compared to the Bay Area, where I'm actually from, it's a lot slower. But I like it. I can't complain.
Nice.
And you're in North Carolina, right?
North Carolina, yes, sir.
Where are you from?
Fayetteville, North Carolina, where I'm at.
that's awesome. Like I go back to California a lot to visit home, and there's nothing like you know what I'm saying, like the area you're from or you have roots at, like,
yeah,
I really miss it.
I had moved out after high school. I moved to Arizona, Phoenix, and loved it. That's when I got the chance to visit Vegas, and I just remember walking into going to the Strip and walking in one of those casinos and walking out the other side of the casino, and I was like a block away. And
right.
I was like, that's too big, man.
Yeah, those things are huge. And you can get lost in a time warp also because there's no windows.
And so, no clocks.
Yeah, you start having fun and you go outside and it's nighttime. It's like, oh, man.
Mm.
Yeah, yep. Nah.
It's nighttime and there's people trying to hand you things.
don't look at the flyer, man. Don't look at the flyer.
No, you can't sin on that flyer.
Nothing but debauchery. 100% debauchery. I know those flyers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yep. Meanwhile, where I'm from, if somebody's trying to put a piece of paper in your hand, it's like a tract.
Right. Out here.
It's like
that's rare out here, you know. But the thing about out here is we have some people who do that, but they're like the real annoying type, like the ones that I will argue with just as much as I would somebody else. Like, they're like, and I'm we're recording already or not?
Yeah.
Oh, because I'll do a disclaimer. Use that, don't.
Okay.
This isn't mean to be negative, but they're like Moses. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're coming with the law 100%. So, like, one's handing out tracts, there is no, I mean, when they get to Jesus, the person's already walking away like, okay, yeah, I'm a sinner. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the most extreme form of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's how it is. excuse me, water went down the wrong way.
Oh, that was COVID, man. I'm about to get my mask.
Can't be too safe,
man. You know what I'm saying? The internet is the next type of plague coming. You got to be safe, man.
That's it. No, but it's you're right. It is. It's a lot of law. One of my favorite evangelism tools. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's called Way of the Master by Kirk Cameron.
Oh yeah. I thought it was Ray Comfort. But I didn't talk about.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron.
Right.
And they do such a good job. I don't think they, because they're like reformed. So I don't know that they really get to like share the gospel.
Kind of hard, but not to, we don't want to say Christ died for you, but I get kind of hard.
They're like, and hey, look, I know I just spent forever breaking you down with the 10 commandments, but I might have some good news.
I might. Yeah. It's possible. You might like what's in my other pocket.
Because here's the right thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saved, and I don't know if you're saved. So maybe, you know.
Hey, at least you have a coin flip chance now. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. Jesus died so that you might could be elect.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least now you have some hope, brother. You have some hope.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, it's funny. I read Dr. Jordan Cooper has a book where he compares and contrasts Lutheran versus Reformed theology. And one of the statements he makes in that book, it's my favorite way of explaining this. He says the Reformed start with election. And they say, okay, so God knew we would fall and all this, right. And then elected some people to be saved. Now, how does he get them there? Through the cross. And then the Lutheran starts with the cross and says, boom, Jesus died to save us. Now, how do we get sinners to the cross? Through election. And it's, I don't know, man. Like,
I agree. And that's probably one of my biggest gripes with that type of viewpoint that they have, the Reform have, is because what you said is 100% true, but it subtly replaces the cross as primary and makes election, you know what I'm saying? Like you said.
Yeah. Like election's primary.
Primary. It's like that shouldn't be the central point you're pointing to. It should be, like you said, the Lutheran approach, which I'm biased. You know, hey, I mean, I'm sitting here with a Book of Concord in front of me, some Gerhardt books. I'm Lutheran, you know what I'm saying? But I think that in general, that's what you're supposed to be looking at, gold at the first.
Right.
Rather than looking at, oh, am I elect? Well, if I am, there's this door over here I could take. Now I'm taking you straight to the door. Straight to the door. Right. This is Christ crucified for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and Lutheran theology, I think, does such a good job of making the cross central, not just to salvation, but to like literally everything. Even all of human history, I would say, starts at the cross and unfolds from there. Because, I mean, St. John says, like, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, right?
Right.
So, literally, history unfolds forwards and backwards from the cross.
No, definitely. And, I mean, it's so primary. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be. That's the only route to salvation. We have to start there. Before I have you start fruit checking or wondering if you're elect or if you're this, nah, man, Christ died for you.
Yeah.
Let's move from there. We'll go from that starting point because that's the most essential thing.
Absolutely. That's awesome. How did you become a Lutheran?
I knew you were going to ask that. That's one question I knew. We didn't map nothing out, but I knew because I actually did a video, one of my first videos on my little channel. Where people, I say, whenever someone finds out I'm Lutheran, I get the 4 W's.
Okay.
What? When? Why? You know what I'm saying? And then they throw the H in there. How? You know what I'm saying? You know? But actually, so I grew up, I've always been a Christian. You know, I know some people have their little testimony. I was on crack, strung out. Nothing to my name but a crack rock and a pipe. And I saw a light. Like, no. It wasn't a day in my life that I didn't know Jesus died for me. But I kind of grew up more so in a Baptist, non-denom, Pentecostalist type flavor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So pretty much Methodist and Baptist. Cause everything else I named was pretty much Baptist and Baptist light. You know? So I also went to a Catholic high school.
Wow.
So going to a Catholic high school, the liturgy, and I'll get to the point, but the liturgy and that type of setting wasn't that unfamiliar to me, you know?
Right.
So later on in life, I said to myself, like, I want to read the Bible for myself, you know? And not on some solo scriptura where it's just me and my Bible, and I'm going to come up with my own lexism, you know what I'm saying? My own little Lexianity religion, but more so in the sense of, I need to read it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I started digging into it and I just found things that contradicted or I didn't align with Methodism because I was a Methodist at the time.
Okay.
And from there, I ran into, this is back when Jordan Cooper, had just started his, he wasn't even doing YouTube videos. He was literally like on Twitter talking about, I might do a podcast. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like way back then, it was like me and like a group of like two other people. And we all, one other guy was Methodist, and we studied. Like, we read John Wesley. Like we weren't just like, oh, I sit here on Saturday, so this is my game. Like, no, we were
right.
Literally jumped in, knew every, you know what I'm saying? So I started, I was trolling something I don't do too often, you know, but.
you never, never.
You know, never me, you know. I started trolling, Daniel Emery Price on Twitter about baptism of babies. And from there, he was just like, let's look at the text, you know, and just conversations and me going to the Book of Concord slowly but surely. I got to the point where it's like, I can't be where I was at.
Right.
I realized that. And then it started with baptism, but then it flowed into the aspect of Lord's Supper, sanctification, things of that nature. How we're not, when I say that, I should clarify. Sanctification being that I'm not banking my justification on that. I'm not looking at my fruits and things of that nature. And then the part that really sealed the deal for me was I visited a Lutheran church and the confession and absolution part. That struck me to the core because it was literally probably the first, I won't say probably, it was the first time I was able to literally stand there and say, I confess for my sins done and undone. You know, it was the things I did and haven't did. And be honest with myself. Like, I know I sinned. I know that girl walked by and, yo, I snuck a peek. Like, man, she was, you know, I know I did it. But I want to downplay it and be like, I wasn't lusting. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? And that really struck me to the core of being able to be honest with my sin and not feel that I lost 100 sanctification points. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I'm not in the hole now. You know what I'm saying? Oh, let me go help an old lady cross the street and get my points back. You know?
That those is so how it feels too, dude. That is like when you're in that like Baptist theology, like that is exactly how it feels. Like you lost points and you got to earn them back. I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah. A lot of people put it on, oh, you think you've fallen in and out the faith, which I can see how it goes that route with a lot of people. But on a more realistic, my level is I felt like I wasn't doing enough. I wasn't keeping up. I wasn't towing the line. I wasn't, you know, and no matter how hard I try, if you understand the law, you're going to condemn yourself. On your best day, if you really are holding yourself to the measure, you're going to condemn yourself. Because when you look at Matthew 5, the way Jesus ends the chapter pretty much, I know it wasn't written in chapters, but that chapter, go be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. Man, what? Oh man, let me start again tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't do that. I can't cut that. I can't toe that line. And to have that weight released off me, it really brought to light the his yoke is easy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It really brought that to light. So that's pretty much my transition in a nutshell. You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, it is. It is definitely comforting. I remember my first confession and absolution. I cried like a baby, baby. And I was like, I'm like crying, dude.
Right.
And I'm looking around like, how is nobody else? Do y'all not hear the words? Are y'all not listening to this?
For real. I like, it strikes you. Like, you're like, man, what did I just say? And what did I mean? I meant it. Like, I literally meant it. It's touching. Like, for me, that's one of the most gut-wrenching things that really, that finished pulling me in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was flirting with, I loved the topic of baptism. I was, you know, I was at a Methodist church and I got my kid baptized at a Lutheran church. So I was already down that road, you know what I'm saying? But once I heard that confession absolution, I felt like I didn't have to hide no more. I didn't have to hide. You know, I could own up to my sin and not, I won't say not feel shame, but not feel it as if my salvation is impacted by that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I'd be okay.
Yeah, it's here's the thing that we always said growing up, outside of the Lutheran church. I've never heard a Lutheran say this, and I understand why, but you can have head knowledge, but do you have heart knowledge? You know what I mean?
And, yeah.
But like, I get like, because I was the same way. I'm studying all this theology and I find Lutheranism and I'm getting into it and I have all this stuff up here.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then like actually going in and experiencing the liturgy and having Joe stand up there and say, in the stead and by the command of Christ, I forgive you all your sins. Like that's heavy. It's a different thing.
Yeah. No, it's heavy. Like it really hits you where you're like, wow, I needed that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know I needed this, but thank God I it's been given to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just amazing.
It is. I tell you, one thing though that I wish we could do, do you remember the LCMS, the Joyfully Lutheran? What was that last year, the year before?
Yeah, I remember.
I wish it was more than just like a Facebook profile sticker or whatever. Like, I wish we could be a little happier.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I hear you on that. Because honestly, when you actually talk to Lutherans, you feel it. You know what I'm saying? We talk religion and stuff. But it doesn't come across all the time. Like, when you just look, you know what I'm saying? But,
right. We're all just kind of like standing around, struggling our way through this hymn.
Oh, man. I'd be having the hardest time with the hymns. Mm-hmm. And like, there's this lady who stands by me in the back, where I stand at. Voice of an angel.
Nice.
I'm like, why don't you go up there? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, leave us.
Get you a mic, please.
You know what I'm saying? Like you are out here shaming me. You know what I'm saying? Like, go sit somewhere else. I don't need this in my life right now. I just confessed my sins and I'm coveting your voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's your problem? I mean, she's hitting the runs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sitting here holding the blue hymnal. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. And she just eyes closed, looking up. Oh, man.
I love it. I love it. I'm still new enough. I'm like 4 years into this thing and I'm still new enough that like when we hit a hymn and I remember it, I'm like, oh, this hymn. I know this one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like excited.
Yeah. Back up. I'm ready.
My favorite person at church though is the one that like is so happy and so confident and like is really like gives it everything they've got with the hymn, and we're just like a hair off key. So just the whole time.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. My favorite, because neither one of us are cradle Lutherans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is the cradle guys where we'll do the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed every, you know, except for Trinity Weekend. And like everybody knows some of it, but not everybody has it down pat.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like this is their moment to shine. I believe in the Father. Like they're killing it. They're not mumbling over words. They have the pattern down, the flow, the rhythm. Yeah. You know, and I'm over there like, okay, bro, calm down. You're ahead of the pastor's reading of it. Slow down. You know, like you're showing off here. Those guys crack me up.
My buddy Aaron, he's a pastor up in Lynchburg, Virginia, where my family lives, and his wife is continually just one of the most impressive women I think I've ever met, because they have a lot of kids. They have like a bajillion kids, and she's like wrangling and managing them all, you know, grabbing this one and keeping that one from wandering off and stopping the baby from crying. And she's doing, and while she's doing this, wrangling all the kids, she sings every hymn.
Oh, wow.
She responds to every part of the liturgy. She goes through the confession. She says the creeds, does the whole thing, never opens a hymnal. Not once.
See?
Never once.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter. We've been through DS1, DS3, DS2. She always knows every part of every setting.
I'm so jealous.
It's amazing.
I'm so jealous because I get mixed up when we change it from Lord Hear Our Prayer to something else. I'm like, Lord Hear, oh, have mercy. You know what I'm saying? Like, right.
Lord, have our mercy.
I be trying to be that memory guy, but it throws me off sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I be trying, man.
We use basically two different settings. We don't have LSBs at our church. We came out of the ELCA, and we still have the ELW, their hymnal.
Yeah.
So we, instead of using any of the settings in that hymnal, we have a setting, I think, that was adapted from DS3 that we have in a bulletin. And I get very excited when we get to the sacrament portion of the liturgy, because that is really the only part that I know by heart.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, all right.
Time to shine.
Time to shine. I got three things to say, and then I don't have to do anything else.
I'm good. I'm good after that. Yeah,
that's awesome. Is it hard finding like a good church out in Vegas? Is that
actually no? To be honest with you, I mean probably because it's Sin City, they pop up. You know what I'm saying? It's like grace abounds, you know. But
yeah,
not actually out here. We have the largest Lutheran high school in America out here.
Wow,
you know, not saying all the kids are Lutheran. You know what I'm saying? But it's literally a good number. You know what I'm saying? Like, my kid was going to a Lutheran school, a school called Lamb of God. And then we found another Lutheran school. You know what I'm saying? And the church I go to now, Mountain View Lutheran. Like, it's a good number of them around, where it's not like I got to drive 40 minutes to get to church. You know what I'm saying? Where, like, literally on my side of town, I literally can, Lamb of God. We even have a Wells. You know how covert they are, you know?
Right.
Down the street, you know? So it's a good number. It's a good
That's
number.
Awesome.
Good number of us.
That's really cool. We have a Wells church in town only because we have Fort Bragg here.
Okay.
Otherwise, like, Lutheranism, not big in the South. And so we have a Wells church here. And you're right. Like, they're undercover. They're undercover. I found them by accident.
Me too. I'll ride a motorcycle and I may have left. I'm like, Lutheran? What? how y'all sneak in my neighborhood and I didn't know? You know, like, right. I even asked my pastor. I said, did y'all build a new church? Like, literally down the street? He's like, no. I told him the name of it. We looked it up. He's like, oh, that's a Wells church. I'm like, okay. All right. I get it. Right. You know?
You think, like, man, maybe they're a lot closer. Maybe I should check them out. It's Wells.
Hey, hey, I had my pastor worried for a second. I'm like, hey, I can almost walk to that one, bro. I can walk and get the sacrament. You know what I'm saying? I'll be here for all services.
You know? You're doing like a Thursday night? I'm there.
Man, I'm there early. You know what I'm saying? Go home and come straight over.
That's awesome. Joe did a thing for a little while, an outreach thing. I don't know that he's gotten back into it since COVID. We kind of stopped, but he did a thing for a while. It was like the fourth Sunday or the fourth Wednesday of every month. He would do 15-minute church. And you could literally just stop in on your way home, like on your commute home. And it was one hymn. It was confession and absolution, one hymn, one reading, a 5-minute sermon, and then the sacrament.
Wow.
And I mean, in and out, 15 minutes.
That's really Christ for you right there. That's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Come get this.
Yeah. And that was his idea, was like, look, dude, like, you're just driving home, you know, middle of the week, work's been tough, just stop in and get some church real quick and then be on your way. And we got two or three families that stopped in because they saw it on the sign, 15-minute church, no way.
Right.
You know, stopped in and boom, got a full liturgical service, you know, full in 15 minutes, and then ended up becoming members.
Yeah. No, I can see that, because, and it's like, you're hitting the direct point. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, our liturgy is sometimes it's more Christ in the sermon sometimes in some place. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So even narrowing it down, it's still Christ, Christ, Christ.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a high power, no chase or shot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. It's, I thought it was good. I'm going to push him to try and get back to it. What do you guys do out there for outreach in Vegas? What does that look like?
To be honest, like there's a lot of churches out here, like other denominations too. And to be honest, out here it's more so classical Lutheran, I'll say, meaning that like they kind of more so depend on the schools.
Okay.
Where it's not really out and about or things of that nature. It's more so your kid goes here, a friend goes here, we invite you to church, things of that nature right there. You know, there's nothing over the top aggressive in a sense, you know. I shouldn't say over the top like it's negative, but you know what I'm saying? Nothing like that in a sense, you know. And I mean, I'll be all for that, you know, but it's just not something that I see that often in a sense where, you know, we're pushing the envelope like that. Hmm. I kind of think it's more so just a Lutheran cultural type thing. Like in general, we aren't in general that, I hate using words like abrasive, you know what I'm saying? Because it sounds so negative. I don't mean in a negative context, but we're not aggressive like that in general.
Yeah.
In general, we're not like that.
Yeah, we're I found that like so a lot of we'll get people that come to our church from, you know, like the Baptist whatever like mega churches, and they'll come in and say, "Oh, well, you know what, the Verb Baptist Church or whatever, we you know, we would go out every Tuesday and knock on 85 doors or
right.
And you know, we're content to just like drop off stuff at the crisis pregnancy center.
Yeah.
You know, we get a nice little letter every year. We do a mitten tree in our narthex where you come in and throw hats and mittens and scarves and jackets and whatever socks onto this tree. And, you know, once every couple of weeks, Joe rounds it all up and takes it down to social services and donates it. And, you know, we get like a nice letter from them. And, but like, that's kind of, that's more how we do outreach, I think. It's just like kind of loving people.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's really more vocational. You know what I'm saying? Like in our day to day, in a sense. But that's one of the reasons why I'm so happy that like you started this. You know, like I think social media is kind of forcing us to come out and be more in an uncomfortable setting in a sense. You know, like that's one of the reasons why I started my little channel, Wittenberg Project, because it's like, with social media, it's a way for us to become more aggressive in that and sharing what we're saying, what we hold and what we feel is the most accurate profession of the Christian faith of the Bible. You know, it makes it more, we can come and instead of having 5 minutes with you trying to say, "Hey, open the door. I got Jesus for you." We're able to sit there and talk to you and really dialogue and go back and forth, you know, so I think the internet is really helping us in that regard, and I'm just happy there's more avenues out there. Like I said, like you doing this, and you got, you know, Brian Wolfmiller. You have a whole bunch of things out there to where it's possible, you know.
I will tell you, I love the internet. I grew up on the internet, but I hate the internet. And I think it's a curse. It's terrible, but I do things like this, you know, like Wolf Mueller and Dr. Cooper and Fighting for the Faith with Chris Roseborough and all this kind of stuff. It really is like God redeeming the internet.
Right.
I think that's really cool to see that happen.
And you're right. It's so much negative and deep holes. People can go on the internet, right? I get what you're saying, you know, but it's like, due to that that medium, God has used people to step in there and say, "Hey, hold up, you know, come hear this, you know." And then we also, another thing I hate is the cringe Christian group, like Christian TikTokers, and like, oh my God!
I tell you what, the TikTok algorithm I think is satanic because so like everybody's like, "Oh, there's all the dancing girls on TikTok or whatever." My TikTok feed has zero dancing girls on it. I get just a bunch of cringy atheists with the lamest takes trying to talk. That's all my For You page is just like really crappy atheists that are that just have like the lamest arguments.
Yeah, all my TikTok is just jokes and just a whole bunch of non-religious stuff. I got a couple of videos of my kids on there. It's probably like that too, because my kids play on it a lot. So I get a lot of their stuff on there also.
Yeah, I started out just like watching cat videos.
Yeah,
And I don't know how TikTok knew I was a Christian or interested in Christianity.
Right.
But then it just started like feeding me atheists. So now like I can't get on there without like getting one or two videos in, and I get some like blue haired psycho telling me that like, I don't know.
I don't understand.
This part of the Bible contradicts this other part. I mean, probably doesn't, but.
Yeah. I hate those guys. Right. But that, more than them, I hate the fake deep Christians. Like I saw this one guy, I actually made a video responding to him. I don't even do that on TikTok. Like I'm not no TikTok Christian missionary. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not my call. That's not my call, you know?
Right, right.
He's trying to say he said that the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. Christians shouldn't pray that because that's the law.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, bro, like the apostles literally asked God in flesh, how do we pray?
And he was Christ, like, here, I'll write it down.
Yeah. And you have the audacity. The audacity to be like, actually,
Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus, he misspoke right here. You know, like,
right.
Come on, bro. Like, that one made me mad. Yeah, that one, yeah. I did a video. I called him a bozo. Oh, you know what I'm saying? I was like, man, no, bro, you're tripping. You're a trip. Don't you dare come on here having Christians think saying the Lord's Prayer isn't the most perfect prayer ever stated by anyone in flesh. Like that prayer literally covers everything. It's like the most, it's almost like the perfect format for a prayer. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's
yeah. Well, it's great. It's great in that way because the Lord's Prayer, you can just pray it as is, good to go. And it will apply to whatever you're going through, which is great. But it is a great format for a prayer. Let's open with, you know, if you break it down by petition, you can sub your own, you know, thankfulness in this part, adoration in this part, request in this part, etc. I mean, it's so versatile.
It is. And like it covers it's the perfect prayer. And it's like, I couldn't believe this dude had the goal to say that. It was like, man, I almost wanted to say, yo, where are you at? We need to meet up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's a dark alley behind local grocery store. We got to exchange. I got to lay some holy hands on you. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like,
yeah. The only one I think that was like more ridiculous than that. I don't know if you saw him, Brendan Robertson.
Nah.
He's.
I probably saw it, but I don't be looking at names. I'll swipe. You know what?
Here's the thing. So he's a younger guy. I think he's maybe in his mid to late 20s or early 30s. He is a homosexual, and he says he's an ordained minister. He wears a collar. He wears a powder blue clerical shirt with a collar in a lot of his videos. And I cannot for the life of me, I've looked at like his website and all his, I cannot figure out where he was actually ordained. I can't find it.
I mean, I would just guess either Episcopalian or ELCA.
He looks Episcopalian.
I was gonna guess Episcopalian. We get a lot of harp for the ELCA guys, but no one talks about the Episcopalian. Like, those guys,
they're wild. Yeah,
wild. Like wild. I'm like at least in our excuse my terminology, but it's in our gang. You actually know we have a problem with them over there.
Right.
Like, right. The Anglicans don't even be beefing with them.
Even the ELCA, at least they still pretend to be Christian. Like, a lot of Episcopals don't even get that far.
But the Anglicans, you would think that they at least would state they have a problem with them. Like, no, I don't like them. Mm-mm, no, we have.
Yeah, no.
No, there's nothing. Like, at least with us, you're going to. If you call someone who's LCMS, ELCA, like, hold on. You're being real disrespectful. You're being real disrespectful right now. You know?
Fight.
You're right. You know what I'm saying? It's a problem. With them, you don't even know they have issues with each other. You know? It's like, oh, you could go either way, you know? So, nah.
Yeah.
They're so wild.
But he put out a video and got a lot of attention because he, you know, the woman, and he says, you know, why would I throw the children's food to the dogs or whatever?
Yeah.
And then she says, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. That whole bit, he took that and he was like, see, so Jesus was a racist.
Oh, I know this guy. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, that made me mad too. Like, you are removing all context, bro.
All context.
All context. You know, yeah. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
Wow. I hate when people do that. I hate when people do that. Like, context is such a big thing. And that's one thing I'm so thankful for Lutheranism is I kind of learned that you have to understand the time, the setting, and get the full point the Holy Spirit is trying to deliver. You can't just go grab something, you know, and be like, oh, Jesus wept. Yeah, I love to cry. He's not saying that.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just go off on a tangent and grab anything you want and just run with it.
Right. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Paul was talking about enduring suffering.
Right, right.
He wasn't completing a triathlon, Becky.
Yeah. Or making someone with a short leg grow. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't talking about that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Wild. No, you're right. And the context thing, and I blame Chris Roseborough for that in my own life because that's his big thing is context, context, context. And I mean, he's right. He's right. So often someone will come to you and they'll be like an atheist person. They'll say, oh, well, the Bible says this in you know, whatever, you know, Obadiah 8:2 says this thing. And it's like, great. Well, let's read the whole book.
Yeah, it's like, and so then, what did Obadiah 8:4 say? Right.
Yeah, didn't read that far. What I did was I found a gotcha verse, right? Like, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I love, perfect example of the gotcha verse. I love when people, especially Christians do this mostly. Some atheists, I mean, some non-believers do it. They're like, well, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not judge. I'm like, yeah, it does say that. I'm like, but do you know that literally, like, you read the next two or three passages, he tells you to judge, like, you know, remove the log out your own eye before you know what I'm saying? Like, he literally addresses that. You do have to say something, you know, but just don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite about it. But they just want to throw the thou shalt not judge on there and then go out and rob a bank. You know, like, come on, man. Like,
yeah. Well, so, like, I saw, like, it was, I don't know if it was like a paparazzi picture or something, but it came across my feed one day and it's Miley Cyrus and she's wearing not very much, but a shirt that said only God can judge me. And I thought, well, yes, and he will, and that should scare you.
Exactly. When people say that only God could judge me, I'm thinking like, you don't really want that though. You don't want that. I'm like, you're acting like that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
No.
Trust me, you would rather me judge you.
Yes. Because at least I might have some empathy. Like, yeah.
Right, right. At least at the end of it, I'm going to tell you about Jesus.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, nah, they really don't want that. It's like, because I know I'm going up there talking about I'm guilty. I'm guilty, but I'm with him. I'm with him over there. You see the guy with the hole in his hands? That's my guy. That's my guy. Yep. I'm rolling with him, but I'm guilty, sir. Sir, I just say, you know, I'm guilty. You can come up here and try. God, you judge me. All right. It was nice knowing you while I knew you in line to get in heaven's gate. Hey, we had a good convo. I'm never going to see you again, though. You
know right. We're going to different places here.
Hey, I hope you have shorts on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Here's some PF9 sunscreen. Hey,
look,
good luck.
You can have my water bottle.
Right, you know what I'm saying? exactly. Like, you know.
Yeah. No, it's I mean, that's it. You know, I remember the first time I read those words. Don't fear the one that can destroy your body, but fear the one that can throw both body and soul into hell. I remember the first time I read that, and then I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus is talking about God.
Yeah.
Like, not the devil, not nothing. Like, he's talking like God is going to throw you body and soul into hell.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Deep, yeah.
I need to talk to this Jesus.
Right. Yeah, like I said, I literally want to be behind Jesus. Only way you're going to see me is if he has his hand still and you can see through the hole in his hand. You might see me peeking out the back like, I'm like the guys who sent David out to fight. I'm way back here cheering. You know what I'm saying? Get him, little kid. No. Get him. Throw that rock. Woo. Boy. I know his cousin. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, but that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Like at judgment, like the goal is to just be as invisible as possible, you would think.
You know? I want to be in Christ.
Yeah.
It's so
funny that people, you know, they say like, oh, only God can judge me, and they use that as an excuse to justify their sin. Because what they're doing when they say only God can judge me is they're actually using that as an excuse to not be judged by God, right? Because they don't want God to judge them at the end of the day.
Right.
You know?
And so
they're trying to keep when you tell someone, hey, that's wrong, like you shouldn't be doing that, it's that little bit of that like light from God that shines through you and illuminates a dark place on them, and they don't like that. And so, so only God can judge me. And ironically, they're using that to escape that very thing.
Yeah, I view it the same way. It's like the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You're saying only God can judge you, but literally that conviction you feel to make you say that is literally the Holy Spirit pricking you right now.
Yeah,
it's literally him. Like, hey, yeah, he got you. You might want to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And only God can judge me. And it's like, I'm telling you God's word. You know?
Right. Yeah. That's wild, dude.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world we live in. You said you have kids. My wife and I, we haven't been blessed with kids yet. And like, hats off to all dads today. Cause like,
it's rough,
imagine.
Man.
It's rough. Imagine.
Rough. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's so rough. It's hard to even keep a clean house. You know what I'm saying? I got toys right there. You know what I'm saying? I got makeup right here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, jeez.
It's a blessing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's not easy. It's not easy.
I just want to thank you for putting on the makeup and looking.
Oh, God. Yeah, see, this is audio. They all know we can see each other, though. You know what I'm saying?
The best part is they're all going to be like, wait, did he put on makeup?
Yeah,
yes,
right,
he did.
Right.
He did.
Like, does Lex really have rosy cheeks? You know what I'm saying? Like, no. No, he doesn't. For people who can't see, he almost spit water out right now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, I just, but seriously, like I pray for dads, because I mean, I just can't imagine like what do you think is probably the most challenging part of navigating a family through the world?
I'll answer in two parts, because I'll say the first part, I'll say the hard part about just being a dad in general, especially a Christian dad, is long gospel, grace and mercy. You know what I'm saying? Because you do have to, and I don't want to come across too toxic, even though I don't mind, you know what I'm saying? But as a guy, like, I have to shepherd my kids. I have to make, you know what I'm saying? I have to keep them in line and also show them the way things are and things of that nature, but I also still have to be loving and forgiving and things of that nature, which is normal for everybody, so ladies too, but a lot of times the guy ends up being a disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm.
So to balance that out where you can't just be that guy all the time, like even in the midst of the correction, you have to have that grace there. Because I know in front of my Heavenly Father, I'm just as guilty. You know what I'm saying? And I have to remember that there's still grace for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Even though this happened, you need to know that I love you, and that part of the reason I'm disciplining you is because I love you. And, yeah. You know, so that's one of the hardest part is the balancing of that, you know, because they will make you mad. You know what I'm saying? They, woo! You know what I'm saying? So there's that. And
so,
also,
so the age of accountability is totally bogus.
Totally bogus, man. Totally bogus, you know. And then another thing is the ability, I don't say the ability, but the recognition of how strong the words of I'm sorry are. Knowing that as a parent, you make mistakes too.
Wow.
That yeah. You, like, sometimes you'll get too mad, or you'll get mad and then you'll find out that actually I overstepped. My kid was right. My kid was right. Hey, come here. Don't just let it go under the rug, because no, they need to know that it's okay. You're going to make mistakes too, and you should own up to it and be able to say, hey, I'm sorry about that. I actually was wrong. I jumped to this conclusion. It shouldn't have been. I apologize. So those are two of the hardest things, I think, directly in the family. But as far as the hardest things regarding the world, I would say it boils down to that old cliche little kid phrase of be careful what your eyes see, you know. I forgot a little riddle, whatever it is, but that's the hardest thing, because like you mentioned before, with internet, TV, school, friends, it's so much out there to where I think more so now than ever, as a parent, you have to be on guard 24/7 with the influences to your kids, you know, so that's one of the hardest parts right there with the world is 100% being on your Bruce Lee stance, ready to drop kick every false thing that comes in and put them on the right path, in a sense.
I have a friend that she has a son. He's 8 or 9. And she made him a TikTok account so that he could be on TikTok. And the app wants you to be 13. I think – I'm 34, and even I'm like, I think I'm still a little too young for this.
I wasn't ready for that. Swipe.
This is some adult content.
Yeah.
But he's like 9 and has this TikTok that he can use. And she told me that, and I was floored. I was like, have you ever been on that app? Why does he have his own account that he can post videos to and direct message with strangers? And it's
people don't realize that. Like for my kids, I have an account, and I know it's a thing. I don't want my kids to go to school and be the weird Christian kid. I know, you know what I'm saying? I know people don't want to say it. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want that. I don't want my kid, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, just like a Mormon every day. You know what I'm saying? Look that funny. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that, you know? So I have an account, and I'll be with them, and I'll see them swipe, you know what I'm saying? But we more so do searches. So it'll be like a search on a Disney, or a search on, not much Disney no more, but a search like SpongeBob or something like that, where it'll keep it somewhat kid content while I'm sitting there. And then I'll be on guard also. I'll reach over and swipe. Daddy, I want to see that. Well, I didn't. Nope. Next.
But you know? it's not like your kids have their own account that on their own cell phone that they're using independently without your supervision. Which is wild.
Yeah. And no matter what any parent says, I monitor it. It's impossible to monitor their own account that much.
Yeah.
You know, cause I remember when Roblox got big at first, and I was against it, but their mother gave me a Roblox account. I come home, I'm like, what's this? A little chat box on the side, people typing, and I'm like, hold up. Yo. Mm-hmm. You know, and me and her had to have a talk about it. Cause it's like, yo, we should have I'll monitor it. Lo and behold, I'm the one monitoring. I'll pop in, just go read and stuff, like, okay, off the phone. This is off. I'm not using it no more because no one's monitoring this. This is too much. There's too much going on, you know. So it's impossible, especially because the internet's 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's so much stuff out there. I heard a comedian say this, and I thought it was I thought it was pretty good. He said that back in the day, before the internet, there were like, so he used flat earthers as the example. And he was like, there were people out there that thought the earth was flat, you know, despite, you know, all the evidence and literally the pictures that we have. And they thought the earth was flat. But when these people would say that, they would get shouted down by their friends. You know, the friends would stand around and then, no, that's stupid. The earth isn't flat. It's a globe. And they would get yelled at. But the problem is the internet has given anybody with any kind of idea the ability to find an echo chamber with a bunch of other people that have that same dumb idea.
Oh, man, you're about to tap into one of my biggest pet peeves ever. I hate that. Because and this is going to sound so bad, but sometimes bullying is not a bad thing. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes it's not.
You might have to beep that part out. But listen. Sometimes a good joke at someone's expense is well-deserved and earned.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. It keeps things in line. Like now, the internet, as you said, you can say whatever you want and people will just co-sign it because you found your echo chamber.
Yeah.
And when you say something against it, it's like, you can't say that's so mean. No, it's the truth. I'm sorry. Hey, if you can't take it, stop saying stupid stuff. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying?
There are certainly times where bullying is bad. There are certainly times where it goes too far when we get into like harassment and things like that. But then there's also like social bullying between friends to kind of keep social norms in check. You know what I mean? And I don't know. That's largely been done away with in society. Oh. Kids don't pick on each other. They don't tease each other.
I had a guy and I remember his name, but I won't say it. But on Twitter, he got mad at me like literally last week, right? So context. He's talking to his friend on Twitter, right? And dude, I forgot what it was, but dude killed him with a joke. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else screenshotted it and did a retweet and commented on it, right? I, being the humble, meek, lovable person on Twitter that I be, you know, I share my 3 cents. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, an extra penny for the road.
extra penny for your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? He replies to me saying, Lex, I don't know you like that. Please don't make fun of me. Bro, what? Yo, hold on. Time out. I'm like, this is like 6 degrees of separation. I said, why don't you talk to the person that cracked the joke on you? Secondly, why don't you talk to the other person who screenshotted it and retweeted it so I could see it about this? You're coming in my... I didn't even at you. I said, you're lucky I'm more sanctified today than I was 5 minutes ago. Because, man. And he got mad at my reply. Because I told him, I said, listen, man. This is what I actually said to him. I can't quote it, but this is pretty much, you know. I was like, look. Like, I don't know you. Your friend was cracking a joke on you. Your other friend retweeted it. I commented. I said, you need to talk to them. I said, because honestly, if I was trying to make a joke about you, it would have been way worse, bro. It would have been way worse.
Right.
He took that as another insult. He's like, now you're saying you can make even more fun of me. I'm like, man, you're really getting on my last nerves right now, Baptist guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, bro. Like,
I'm trying not to.
I'm like, bro, I'm having a good day so far. Like, I'm smiling. Like, I can turn real fast. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just muted it. I just muted it. I'm like, bro, if you think that's making fun of you, I'm just gonna leave it here because I really could mess up your day. I've already earned too many blocks as it is.
Right.
I'm not trying to earn any more. You know.
Let me tell you what. I liberal use of mute and block makes Twitter even better. Because I get, I don't know, man. You hit a certain follower count and you just start getting dragged all the time for nothing.
Oh,
like,
my God.
People just show up in your mentions, got an egg for a picture and 12 followers showing up in your mentions, trying to say something, block, move on.
Yo, people don't, so for me, a long, long time ago, many moons ago, I made a rule for myself that I never will block anybody, right?
Ah.
So I don't block, but I do, I'm heavy on that mute though. You know what I'm saying? But it's crazy because I tell people all the time, like, having about 400 to 500 followers is a good range.
Peak Twitter.
Once you get a little past that, you're like 700, 800. I'm like, you lost your feed. You know what I'm saying? Like, now you can't even have conversations with people, and people will know. Like, for instance, there's this guy on Twitter. He changed his handle to be more incognito, but his name was back then was BK Ben. And me and him would joke all the time with each other. All the time. Go too far, whatever. But people knew that's how me and him interacted. Right. You know? Once I got to like 1,500 followers, people just jump in. And I'm like, yo, this isn't even a real argument. He knows right. he's a dirty heterodox reformed guy. He knows that already. When I say it to him, he knows. You know? And so you're jumping in really mad and upset, but you have no idea about me and his dynamic. And now we're both making fun of you. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. No, I mean, that's true. Cause like, so I'm bearing down on 1,100 right now. I have 1,080 and, it's different. Oh, I noticed that starting around 800, 900.
Yeah. That's like, what started.
People just like show up and just, they just say things. Yeah. They just they won't spout even, off, man.
Like, they won't even read the whole thread.
No. You know what I'm saying? Uh-uh. No, they'll read one or two tweets and decide that they're going to get involved.
They're like, I'm going to set you straight. What are you? Like, go read 10 tweets up. You'll see we covered that already.
Right.
We covered that already.
That's every once in a while. Every once in a while, I don't have a Christian moment. And someone will show up in my mentions and say something, and I'm just like, all right, let's go. I pick you, 26 follower guy. Let's end your Twitter career today.
See, I think people don't do it as much as they used to, but people used to actually search my name and try to find things to argue with me about.
Great.
But now the problem is in my bio, people have the heart, like they hate my bio. And I didn't realize it was that offensive to people, but people really view it and they're like, you're so unchristian. You're this, you're that. I'm like, bro, who are you? And they're like, I see why in your bio you said this. I'm like, well, why did you respond to me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I threw a great disclaimer out. You should leave me alone.
Oh, right. You know? Right. But, we are not friends.
Oh, you read it?
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's it. That's it. I remember one time, I said something, and then one of my Catholic friends, I said something really Lutheran, and one of my Catholic friends got on me, and then some Reformed guy jumped in the thread to shut down my Catholic friend, and he was shocked when me and my Catholic friend turned around and just started mocking him. Like there was no tomorrow, because it's like I don't know if you know this, but I'm like on his side. Well, like way before I'm on yours.
Oh man, Well, hold up. Before I comment on that, do you see my banner on my page?
No, I'm gonna look.
That's what really gets him mad. I quoted this one guy.
That's great.
I don't see how people who can't see it is like Lex Hater of all things Baptist. You know?
Yeah. Accuser of Baptists hating their own children. I love Lex is a jerk. Because like how many people do not understand that like Lex Luthor and like Lex Lutheran, like that's a play on that. Like
many.
How do people miss that? Like y'all, like his handle is literally a joke about being a supervillain. Like come on.
I literally think it's this because back a lot of years ago, having an Anon was a big thing. People were like, I'm Christian Batman. I'm this.
Yeah.
And my personality fits the villain role when it comes to Baptists and non-denoms and everybody. Let's just be honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, 9 times out of 10. And so they get caught up like I'm really Lex Luthor. You know what I'm saying? Like they really feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like no, this guy really is a villain. Like, you know. But as far as the Catholic thing, I got kicked off of Facebook for that.
Oh.
By the Protestants. They hated me. They hated me. I would go into a thread peacefully and lovingly, you know.
As you do, as you are known to do.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Quietly.
Exactly. Amen. Amen. You know?
Lex sneaking in the back saying, hey, let's talk about this reasonably like adults.
Man, I try, you know? And then me and the Catholics will be just going to war with Seventh-day Adventists and Baptists and Pentecostals. And they're like, you Catholic lover? I'm like, I'm the reason you exist. Literally. Yeah, like,
yep,
I'm the
you're
reason,
welcome.
I'm the reason you exist, you little peon. You're just wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got a message from Facebook. Your account has been deactivated. I'm like, whoa,
oh,
what?
No.
Yo.
Oh.
Yeah. You're right, though. It easily turns real fast, and it's like, nah, I'm on their side. I don't feel obligated to back a ridiculous non-denom stance or a Baptist or a Pentecostal or whatever stance against a Catholic just because they're Catholic. No.
Right.
No. I don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep. No, I'm
with
you. A
lot of things. Yeah. People don't realize, though, like in our confessions, when you look at the Apology of Augsburg, they actually agree with us on some points.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't a whole, you know, both of us standing on each side of the fence. I hate you. I hate you too. Flipping each other off. Like there are points where we're like, yo, F you, F you. But there also are points where they're like, okay. All right. I'm with you there. And like people don't see that part of it. So
mm-mm.
A lot of Protestants get shocked where it's like, yo, what? Why are you siding with them? It's like, because we see someone eye to eye on this. You're like,
yeah.
I'm shocked you don't, you know?
I saw a priest friend of mine, a Catholic priest friend of mine on Twitter. Somebody, he had said something about the liturgy, and somebody was like, oh, the liturgy is cold and boring and lifeless. And I was like, if you think the liturgy is those things, you need to like study the liturgy. And they responded, and then my priest friend responded, and then I responded to that and built off his point. And then, like, we kept going with this, where it's like us two with him. And he sent me a DM, and it was the Lord of the Rings scene with Gimli and Legolas, where he's like, I never thought I'd die side by side defending the mass with a Lutheran.
Exactly. But no, that sums it up right there, though. Like, literally, we'll sit there and argue with each other, us and Roman Catholics going back and forth. But, and then, you know, they view us, you know, like, oh, people see, oh, Protestant versus Catholic, the classic debate. And they'll try to slide in there, and it's like, oh, hold up. Actually, you know what I'm saying?
A bit more nuanced than that.
Bit more nuanced than that. You know, you jumped in because it was a Catholic thing. I'm going to team up with you. Hey, good job.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah, I don't claim you.
I don't claim you at all. I got into it with this one guy a couple weeks ago. I forgot what it was about. But he was saying, like, you know, I'm a Catholic lover and this and that, right? And blah, blah, blah. I'm betraying the Reformation and things like that, right? So first I'm like, yo, the Catholics didn't even know y'all existed. They weren't even hunting you. Why are you calling yourself part of the Reformation? Like, you were safe. No one cared about you. You know, like when they say women and children go, you were in that group. Like, you know what I'm saying? No one cared. No one cared about you, bro. You know? Right? That's first thing, right?
But, like,
secondly, huh?
We want unity, though. Like, that's a big thing people don't understand is, like Luther set out to reform the Catholic Church, not separate.
Right. And then the second thing, I mentioned him this old Lutheran quote, Luther quote, where he said, I'd rather drink blood with the Pope than mere wine with the radicals.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he didn't mean that. Oh, no, bro. And I still feel that way, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still 1528 Lex. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, I still feel that way. Like, you guys go too far with this stuff. So don't think just because you're a Protestant, I'm supposed to side with you. Like, no, you bring up Lord's Supper. I'm siding more with them. Even though I don't agree 100%, I'm still more with them than I'm going to do with you guys. And I mean, unity's cool and all, you know. But sometimes, you know, you just gotta let someone know unity comes with you coming over here.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Yep. That's,
you know, unity's over here. You're more than welcome to come.
Yep. We can all be unified behind the Book of Concord.
Amen.
That's Amen. It.
Yeah. That's 100%.
Awesome. Lex, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Oh, no, no problem, man. Thanks for having me, man. You know,
this was great.
You sent the invite out, and I think someone tagged me. And I was like, yeah, definitely, you know, let's definitely, because I definitely, like I said, I am so, like, literally, I was proud, but also enthusiastic that more and more Lutherans are stepping out there and willing to put our views and our thoughts in the playing field. Because, like, one time I wrote a paper, and it was about celebrity pastors, right? And I'm not for celebrity pastors, you know what I'm saying? But what I did say is we might not have a celebrity pastor, but we do need a seat at the table.
Right.
We do need a seat at the table. Like, because a lot of people, you have to talk about Christendom and all this stuff, and it's just two Baptists, one presby who loves Baptists so much they're playing footsies under the table.
Yep.
And then they're all making fun of the Methodist guy. And it's like, you guys, no, we need a seat at that table. Now, our seat literally might be there just slapping you guys around, but I'm okay with that. We still need a seat at that table, you know? So I'm glad we're showing our faces more and we're out there more to give that perspective and things of that nature, man.
Absolutely. Is there anything I can put in the show notes for you?
I mean, you can just mention, I have a YouTube channel, Wittenberg Project. We have a Patreon where we give a portion of the money to this missionary, not missionary, but this they cook food for people in South America.
Oh, cool.
That, and then also the Evangelical Catholic app. It's a Book of Conquer app that Flame, myself, got together and created to make it so people can have the Book of Conquer on their cell phone with other resources and stuff.
Beautiful. That's awesome.
So
cool.
Those little things right there, man.
Yeah, I'll get that done. Lex, thank you again, man.
Oh, no, no problem, man. It was great, great talking to you, man, meeting you face-to-face. Tell Joe I said what's up, and I love him, man.
I will.
All right.